Good morning. February. We made it, right? February 2020. New year. God is with us. Stand with me this morning as we enter on to... you guys are about to enter a pretty cool journey in the next weeks, and you're going to be blessed. We're going to read the scriptures from Jesus this morning, and you recognize these, but as you swim in the pool of Matthew 11, it's these words are so good. So I want to remind them to you once again when Jesus said these words. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke, Jesus says, upon you. Learn from me, Jesus says. I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart, Jesus says. And in me, you're going to find rest for your souls. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden, it's light. The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church at Corinth, talking about the message of Jesus. And he says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. We're going to be swimming in this verse today. The Apostle Paul says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you also, by the way, are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and that he raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you, Almighty God, that you care enough to communicate and speak to us, Lord, through the prophets and through the Messiah. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that dwells within us. Thank you, God, for the written word of God that we have today. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, we gather here this morning for the purpose of worshiping God, of stirring in our mind once again the truths that you speak into our souls, of your love, of your Messiah, the work of Jesus, the value that you give each one of us. God, you are a personal Savior, that all of us in here are important to you, that you know all of us by name. You're a good shepherd that watches over your sheep. Jesus, you said that the Father desires for people to worship in spirit and truth. So we come to worship this morning with our hearts in spirit, and we come with our brains with truth. So God, we ask now that you would just bless this assembly and help the individual that's behind the pulpit today to speak clearly and without error, and all this would be done for the glory of Jesus. We pray this in your name. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Right? Y'all may be seated, and good morning to you. Okay, so Pastor Frank, when are you going to stop having us read Matthew 11? Never. It's so good, right? I mean, we've been swimming in Matthew 11. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus, at a very interesting time in his ministry, about 2.5 years into his ministry, as you read the Gospel of Matthew, as he's rebuked all the peoples because there's so many that won't bow their knee, that won't take his discipleship upon him, that won't follow him with their whole heart. And he rebukes the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, Capernaum. And it's beautiful because even in that, he still has this heart of come to me. Yeah, I love the prodigal, you know. The prodigal leaves, but the Father is always there. That the heart of Jesus, come to me. And so he's still calling the people. And what's he calling them to? And Pastor Frank's been doing his best to help you understand what that means. Jesus is calling you into a discipleship relationship. He's the Lord. We follow him. He's the master teacher. We're the student. And we're in this thing called the Classroom of Life, and Jesus wants to teach you things every day, and me. He's calling us to come under His authority. But this morning, we're going to flip a little bit. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. What does that mean? Who is He talking to? What is it that's weary and heavy laden? Jesus says, if you learn from me, those heavy burdens that you're carrying will become lighter because of me and you following me. Well, what is the heavy burdens? What is the heavy burdens that Jesus is talking about? And what is the message that Jesus is speaking to the people 2,000 years ago? Or even better, what is the message that Jesus speaks to the world today? If someone was to come up to you and they know that you're a disciple of Jesus, and they were to ask you, maybe they're seeking, and they were to say, can you just tell me straight up, what is the message that Jesus is trying to communicate to me? What would you say? What is the big picture message of Jesus to the world? What is that? That's what we're going to be talking about here in the next few weeks. What is Jesus' message to the world? Now, put that on a shelf for a second. Before we even begin to talk about that, Pastor Frank has something he doesn't normally have in his pocket very often, $100 bill. You know, it's funny, when you use these, every time you use one of these, do you notice what people do? They take it. First of all, it's like, why aren't you using your credit card, right? And then they take it. And what is the first thing they do? They do this. And every time they do, it makes me smile. Actually, when they do this, it makes me think about what we're about to discuss today. The new $100 bill is amazing, people. Do you remember when these first came out? I mean, the blue strip, it's not printed. It's woven into each bill. Do you know how? Think about that. The blue strip is woven into each bill. That's amazing. And when you hold it up to the light, there's all kinds of funky things that happens to this bill. The jar here has a bell in it, and it turns color when you hold it up to the light. Or when you hold it up to the light, over here on the right side, there's another picture of Benjamin Franklin that's in this thing. This is a pretty high-tech piece of currency. Why? Counterfeits. The Treasury Department, I mean, to print this bill's like it's 12, over 12 cents is last I checked. It's a lot, you know. Do you know that they believe that 2% of the currency, American currency in the world, is fake? It's counterfeit. It's kind of cool when the Treasury Department trains its people and how to spot counterfeit bills. They just have them hold on to the original over and over again. And they want them to know it so well that they could spot a counterfeit just because they see it. And that's what these people are doing at the cash register. They've been trained to look for the coloring in the bill, in the bell that's there, or this. We're about to go on a journey as a church. Okay? And we're going to be unpacking the original, the gospel, the real deal, the message of Jesus to the world. See, what is the message of Jesus? The disciples of Jesus should clearly understand what the message of the gospel is. And the more we understand what the message of the gospel is, when we hear a counterfeit, we'll notice it right away. And it's funny, have you ever been talking with somebody and all of a sudden they start saying something and you're just going, whoa, as a disciple of Jesus, that's not right. All of us should be trained to know what the original is. So when we see a counterfeit, we can spot it. This morning, we're going to enter on a journey. See, Woodbridge Community Church, the purpose why we exist is to help people meet, know, and I pray to follow Jesus. The follower of Jesus is called a disciple, right? Our hope is to help all of us on the journey to meet Jesus, know Jesus, and follow Jesus. And a part of that journey is to know His message. We as followers of Christ should know what Jesus' message is to the world. And that's where we're heading these next few weeks. And we're beginning a brand new series called What's the Difference? Remember taking a world religions class? This one was mine. Remember taking a world religions class? World religion, religion. All the different religions of the world. What's the difference between Jesus and other religious thoughts or other religious traditions? As a disciple of Jesus, we need to understand these and know these things. And so what we're doing is we're beginning a new series today called What's the Difference Between the Gospel of Jesus and Every Other Religious Thought or Religion? Why am I doing this? I'm doing this so all of us will really understand what the gospel is and what it's not. Hopefully we'll all be able to spot a counterfeit. And we're doing this because the more we understand what other people believe, like I have friends that are Muslims, I know exactly what they believe. I'm more effective in sharing my faith with a Muslim when I understand what a Muslim believes, what a Mormon believes, what a Jehovah's Witness believes, what a Hindu believes, a Buddhist believes, a person that is a Jewish individual, and they're raised in Judaism. And so we are on this, for the next weeks, we're going to take the gospel of Jesus and we're going to start comparing it to different religious thoughts. And this is a card that's in your folder. You can kind of see where we're heading, where we're going. Just so you know what we're doing here. Why am I doing this? This is what we're doing, right? Now, this is a good opportunity for you. If you haven't been in a small group, you should join one, growth group. Because we're gonna, every week in small groups, we kind of discuss the message on Sunday. We relook at the scriptures and we begin talking about it. It's one thing to hear a message. It's another thing to be in community with people and stir in the message. And if you're not in a growth group and you want to be in one, call the church and we'll get you in one. It's going to be fun. It's a good opportunity to tell people, hey, my church is going through different religions. Oh, all religions are basically the same. No, they're not. Well, what is the difference? There is differences, big differences. So this is where we're heading, where we're going. Does it make sense? Yeah, are you guys on the same page? All right. So here you go. You ready for this? 2,000 years ago, there was this guy who didn't really dig on Jesus too much. His name was Saul. He was a religious person, a Pharisee. And he became actually, through a turn of events, one of the greatest known followers of Jesus. His Greek name is Paul, the apostle. He wrote half the New Testament. And as Paul captured the meaning and message of Jesus and experienced Jesus in his life, he began traveling, by the way, all over the Roman world. Okay, and kind of, I have a picture for you, kind of a map. I always like looking at topography, but Paul goes to, it's coming. If not, you can trust me. The Apostle Paul is all over the place, and he went on different missionary journeys. You can study these in the book of Acts. There's this region called Galatia. And it was a Roman province at the time. It's in modern-day Turkey. It would be like Orange County's a province. I don't know. An area. Does it make sense? And the Apostle Paul, as he's going everywhere throughout the Roman world at the time, telling people the message of Jesus, he's the one that really understands the gospel message. He's the one that really encompasses and handles and preaches so well what the message is, okay? And as he's traveling all around through here, there's an area called Galatia. We're going to go there today. Because as Paul went to Galatia, he preached the gospel of Jesus, and churches spotted up. Imagine Tustin, Irvine, right? Santa Ana, Orange County type stuff. And as Paul preached there, people came behind him and messed with the bill. They messed with the message. And when he found out about it, he's livid. The people didn't hold up the gospel too well. and they were taken astray by a counterfeit. So we're going to be talking about that today. But before we go there, the Apostle Paul's famous. He encompasses the message of Jesus, and there's nothing better. I think one of the best ones is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. We read it. I want to read it again. 1 Corinthians 1-4. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. It's in Greece. And then we'll head down to Turkey. Paul says these words, and this is the gospel. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Paul says, "Now I make known to you, Christian," wait, not there. It's not in the New Testament, right? "I make known to you, brethren," brothers, right? Brethren, message last week. If you don't know what I'm saying, you can check that out. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I, Paul, preached to you," and notice, "which you received." Someone, it's, the gospel is a part of receiving, which you received and which you stand on, okay? Which you stand on, by which you are, FYI, saved. That's really important. If you're in a lifeboat, to be saved is to be taken out of the water before you drown. Being saved is really important, okay? Your life is being saved. Eternal life is being saved, right? "So I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you received." Very important you receive it personally in your life. You stand on it because you're saved by it. Unless you, if you hold fast the word which I preach you, unless you believed in vain or a way that wasn't sufficient. This is beautiful. Paul says, "I delivered to you as of first importance." The gospel is number one. The message of Jesus is number one. Well, what is the message? We'll talk about that. But it's first importance, okay? And notice this, Paul says, it's what I received. So I'm just like you, right? Which I preached to you, he says, which I also received. And okay, so what is it that you received? That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, Isaiah 53, check it out. The Messiah died for our sins. That's huge. That's big. According to the scriptures. And that he was buried, right? And that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Take notes of me this morning. Note number one this morning. Important to get a handle on this. And here it is. Jesus' message to the world is encompassed in the word gospel. What does gospel mean? Does anyone know? Good news. The word gospel means good news. Everything that's involved in it, it's encompassed in the gospel, which is a lot, FYI. Sin is, it's involved, the gospel. What is the gospel? In its sin. And a savior and a creator and the created and fallenness and holiness, salvation, redemption, justification, the gospel. All of that's encompassed in this word called the gospel. By the way, we first see this word in Luke 2 with the angels speaking to the shepherds. "I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For you, this day in the town of David, the Messiah has been born, a savior." The angels are the ones saying, gospel, we're bringing good news of great joy. Good news, great joy for all people in the town of David. The Messiah is born, the Savior. The message is consistent all the way through. The gospel is the mission of Jesus. That's why he came. The gospel is what Christ is preaching. And so Paul gets this, and he travels all over the Roman world, right? And he preaches the gospel to the churches in Galatia. And to his horror, he finds that somebody is going behind him spreading counterfeit money, preaching another gospel, another message. And the Apostle Paul picks up his pen and writes probably one of the most confrontational letters in the New Testament as he writes to his disciples or those that believed in Jesus. And begins telling them how disappointed he is that they accepted a false gospel into their cash register. They didn't hold it up to the light. And he begins codifying the gospel and speaking of the gospel. And we're going to be hanging out in Galatians quite a bit in this series, Galatians in this series, Galatians, okay? So here it is. I want us to enter into the, now imagine Paul is writing to people that didn't hold up the money to the light, okay? He's writing to a church saying, here comes a teachable moment for you. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, he says, I, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's called his authority. So I'm the one from the Treasury Department. Don't listen to these counterfeits. Right? I, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Christ, Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. So this is a letter to a province. It's to the county. It's not one church. Apparently this disease has been spreading. So he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Check this out. Who gave himself for our sins. Very important. You get this. Who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father. To him be the glory forever. Amen and amen. And then it comes. I'm amazed. I'm shocked, Paul says. I'm stunned that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ. So in the gospel, there's grace as a part of the gospel. Who called you by grace, by the grace of Christ, for a different gospel, a counterfeit, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to pervert or distort the gospel of Christ. They're printing fake money, people. Okay? Paul goes to Galatia and he preaches the good news of Jesus and that Jesus on the cross died for all our sins. All. And by faith in him, we're made right with God by the grace of God. And people came behind Paul and said, you need Jesus, it's all good. And you need what he did on the cross, plus something else to be made right with God. It's the cross plus something else to be made right with God. And in this day, it was a religious practice taken out from the Old Testament called circumcision. And Paul hears about this. And he says, it's not true. The theme of the book of Galatians, it's real clear. The essence of the gospel is clear. And I want you to write note number 2. And please don't just write this on your paper, but write this on your soul. Put this in your brain. The essence of the gospel is Jesus plus nothing. And nothing plus Jesus for salvation. Did you all get that? Once you get that, all these become radically different. The essence of the gospel is very clear. It's Jesus plus nothing and nothing plus Jesus for us to be saved, for salvation. It's good news. Jesus plus nothing. Say it with me. Count of 3. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus plus nothing for salvation. Jesus plus nothing. It's the theme. It's the gospel. It's the real deal. Listen with me. If you add to the gospel, you change it. Did you hear me? If you add to the gospel, you change it. It becomes a counterfeit. If you add to the gospel, it becomes counterfeit. It becomes distorted or perverted, Paul says. It becomes different. Subnote, write this down. If you add something to what Jesus did on the cross, if you're adding that you have to do something else to what Jesus did on the cross, you're subtracting from what He accomplished. Did you get that? If you're adding some religious practice, you're subtracting from what He accomplished. You distort the gospel. You pervert. You change it. Jesus plus nothing. We are saved. We are made right before God by Jesus' work on the cross, plus nothing else. And see, this is Jesus' message to the world. This is the good news of the gospel. And see, Paul, this is Jesus' message. And when you read Galatians, Paul says, I got this message, this gospel that I'm preaching to you from Jesus Himself. FYI. Paul's like, I didn't read this in a book. Jesus revealed this, the gospel I'm preaching, He's the one that told me this. Right? That's big. That's huge. And by the way, Peter, so you got Paul. How about Peter? Peter totally agrees with Paul. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2:24. The Apostle Peter writes this in 1 Peter, and he's speaking of Jesus. It says, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Listen, for by His wounds you are healed, period. You're healed by His wounds, period. Not His wounds plus something you're doing, some religious work you're doing. I like this one, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ, or Jesus, the Messiah, died for our sins once. For how much sin, people? All. That's all? For all. The just, that's Him. For the unjust, that's me and you. That's offensive, Pastor. Well, that's just the truth. You're unjust before a holy God. He's the judge, and FYI, you don't measure up. You're guilty before a holy God of His holiness, His moral righteous standard. People, outside of Jesus, you offend Christ. You offend the Almighty in word, action, thought, and deed. FYI, you're unjust, but He's the just. And He paid for our sins, how much? All on the cross, all of it. The just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. How much sin did Jesus pay for on the cross in your life? Answer? All. And all means all, and that's all that all means. All. This is the gospel. Do you see it? Can you hold it up to the light? This is the essence of the gospel. It's so important we get this. Jesus on the cross. We call it Good Friday. Guess who it's good for? You. This was His bad day. He had a bad day. He pulled an all-nighter that day. He was arrested early in the morning. He was beat up 3 times, went through 6 different trials, 3 Roman, 3 Jewish. They flog Him and scourge Him, and then on top of that, they drive nails through His hands and His feet, and they hang Him on a cross, and He hangs there for 6 hours. Last words that comes out of His mouth is, Tetelestai. Translation, it is finished. What is finished? It's a shout of victory, of accomplishment. Sin paid for Pastor Frank. Finished. Not begun, people. Finished. Your sin. Finished. He paid for it. Remission of sins paid for. It's done. Different than any other religion, every other religion in the world. It's the gospel. This has got to be my favorite text in the Bible. I love Isaiah 53, but this one, this is the one I'm taking with me when I'm breathing my last breath and going to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, and the NIV just says it so beautifully. It's a good trend. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Hi. We're all new. Isn't that interesting? Spiritually, we're reborn. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, beautiful, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And He gives you and me the ministry of reconciling other people to God. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Jesus, in Christ. I love this. Not counting people's sins against them. How much of their sins is God the Father not counting against you and me? All my sin is not being counted against me. This is huge. My friend Steve, his dad died 2 weeks ago in his sleep. That's why I want to go, don't you? I want to take, this is my order. I want to die in my sleep. I want to go to bed and wake up in heaven, in paradise, and for the next 10 billion years keep thinking I'm in a dream. That's how I want to go. Anyone else want that order? He did it. And my buddy Steve is one of my best friends. We've been friends since I was 5 years old. He's the one that was sharing Jesus with me when I was on my journey. And, you know, he called me and told me his dad passed away. And Mr. Gifford, I used to throw snowballs at him as a kid. Steve and I would hide and we would wait for him to come home and he'd walk home. So he's a teacher in Big Bear High School, football coach. And we'd attack him and he'd get us. And He died a few weeks ago in his sleep. I immediately thought, not counting his sins against him. He entered heaven, and a beautiful man, godly man, because of Jesus. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who's reconciling us to Himself in Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. How much? All of our sins against us. And He has committed us the message of reconciliation. And we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God was making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How? How? How am I reconciled to God? Does anyone know? How are you reconciled to God? This plus nothing. Nothing. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. It's the great transition, the great transfer. All my sin goes on Jesus and I receive His righteousness. This is called the gospel, people. This is the $100 bill. Do you understand what Jesus' message is to the world? This is the gospel. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, great verse. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It's not of work that anyone can boast, right? You've been saved by grace through faith. Very important. Very important. Please tell me I'm making sense to you this morning. Does this make sense? See, because if you don't get this everywhere we go for the next weeks, you're going to miss it. Because this is the gospel. And now we listen to other religions or religious thoughts and we take it, compare it to the gospel. What's the difference? What's the difference? If you add to anything I've said here, you're changing and twisting the gospel. You're perverting it, changing it. I need this plus some religious work. Paul, now here we go. Let me just read it again. Galatians 1, 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Christ. Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, I have to remind you of that, so that he might rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God the Father. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I am amazed. I am shocked. I'm surprised that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort, to pervert the gospel of Christ. How are they distorting it? They were adding a religious practice to the gospel. Jesus plus something. If you ever hear that, you need to just go, that's not right. It's not right. See, religion is a general term. Isn't, Pastor Frank, isn't Christianity a religion? In this book it says it is. The gospel is different than any other religion. Take notes with me. This note number three, write this down. See, religion is salvation through moral effort. All of the religions in here, besides the gospel, says we need to be made right before God by some moral effort that we do. Islam, the five pillars of Islam. Well, we're going to go through all of them, people. It's a good example. All religions are, I'm not right with God, I need to be better. Every religion works their way up to God through some moral effort. The gospel's different. It's so different. In the gospel, God has worked his way down to us through the work of Jesus on the cross. Every religion, every one of them we're going to cover, is I have to work my way up to God in order for some moral effort to be better. The gospel is so different. God worked his way to you in love and mercy and grace through Jesus on the cross. It's different than every other religion on the planet. They're different. What's the difference? They're different. Note number four, write this down. The gospel is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus alone. You understand? It's interesting, the Apostle Paul in Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. You receive a gift, you just receive it. I'm not working for anything. It's given. God works through Christ, and Jesus did all the heavy lifting. Do you understand? He did all the work. And all you do is, it's a gift. Here you go. This is the gospel. Every religion is, I have to work my way up. The gospel is different. God works his way down through the cross. The gospel is salvation by grace, unmerited favor. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. The blood that dripped from the cross, if any of you think, yeah, I'm good, I deserve every bit of that blood, you don't get who Jesus is. He's the Almighty who, you didn't deserve him. God went over and above to save you. It's unmerited favor, grace, and I accept it by faith. Do you see the difference between a counterfeit and the original? All religion, you have to think, if they're right, if religion says you need to work your way up to God through some moral effort, if that is the way, then the question has to be, how good is good enough in order to be accepted? Anyone? See, the one who rose from the dead says, oh, I know the answer to that question. How good is good enough? How much good deeds do I have to do to outweigh my bad deeds? Anyone have the answer to that question? Because Jesus is the answer. He calls it moral perfection. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You understand? This is hard. Good people don't go to heaven. Pastor Frankie was a good person. I'm sure he was. Do good people go to heaven according to Jesus? Perfect people do. Morally perfect people do. Do you know any? For everyone else of us, I got great news for you this morning. I got the gospel. I got good news for you. For all you people that are not morally perfect. And this is so interesting. God is so holy. And read Isaiah 6 this week. The most religious man in all of Judaism was brought up into the presence of God. And as soon as he got there, he said, I am the most filthy, dirty individual. The most holiest man on planet Earth was taken into the presence of the Almighty. And he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm toast. There's something about holiness that we don't completely get on this side. But let me just tell you, God can't be with you unless you are... He can't be contaminated in your presence unless you've been made righteous. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. See, God in His mercy, love, and grace has worked His way down to you. Write this down. Here comes a note. Note number 7. Okay? It's interesting. Religion focuses on what I do. If I'm a religious person, I'm focusing on what I do or I don't do. If I'm a religious person, I'm constantly focusing on how good am I doing or I'm not doing. Okay? A religious person, all religions, how good am I? How am I doing today? Okay? Note number 7. Religion focuses on how well am I doing or not doing. The gospel focuses on what Jesus has done. We took communion this morning. How much of your work went into communion this morning? Answer? None. We celebrated somebody's work this morning. Whose work was it? Christ's. In the gospel, we're focusing on what Christ has already done. My sins have been... How far away is from the east is to the west? Does anyone know? It's immeasurable. If I said north, and if the Bible had said from north to the south, we could have measured the North Pole from the South Pole. But it doesn't say north. It says east and west. It's immeasurable. Our sins has been cast as far as from the east as to the west. Who did that? He did it. He did it. See, it's interesting. Write this down. You can maybe put this in the... See, I like this one. Pastor Graham. See, religion... is D-O. What does that spell? Do. Religion is do. The gospel throws two more letters in it. D-O-N-E. What does that spell? It's done. Who did it? He did. I'm not doing. He did. The gospel. It's so different, people. Than any other, every religion. All of them work their way up. I've got to be better. No, you don't. This one's, I think, so true. Religion can produce pride or despair, depending on how you're doing. And Jesus said, remember the Pharisee? He says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like this sinner. Remember that one? I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad that I'm not like this sinner. And the sinner is saying, God, have mercy on me because I stink. Jesus says, which one's closer to the kingdom? The one that is not the religious. You're closer to the kingdom because you see your need for Savior. The other guy's thinking, I'm doing good. Religion focuses on, it produces pride or despair depending on how am I doing today. What does the gospel produce? Humility. Gratefulness. Confidence in Jesus' completed work on the cross. A Christian, follower of Jesus, a disciple. It produces totally different things. Pastor Frank, when are we going to stop reading Matthew 11, 28 through 30? See, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. What is he talking about? He's speaking to really religious people that are bearing the burdens of themselves trying to be made right with God. Judaism of the first century. We're going to be looking at Judaism of the 21st century in this series. What does your Jewish friends believe? Judaism of the first century is, as I go up to the temple and all this stuff that you've got to do to be made right with God. And it's so sad because even the Pharisees were creating burdens on top of burdens outside of the law. Jesus says that you put weights on people that even you're not willing to lift. All the people, when Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, he's speaking to not to this book. Because all world religions make you burdened. Burdened by do's and don'ts. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, isms, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Scientology, New Age. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He's talking to this book. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. Right? That's become my disciple. Learn from me. And learn from me. Check this out. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And I will give you rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is so different between Jesus and every other world religion? Do you see the difference? You don't carry it. He did. You're not working your way up. He worked his way down. You're saved by grace. And this produces... No one dies like a Christian dies. Nobody dies like a believer in Jesus. They're not sitting there going, did my good deeds outweigh my bad? What is Jesus' message to the world? It's the gospel. What he did on the cross. What is different? I think religion is based in fear. You know what the gospel is based in? Love. What if Pastor Frank was to hand out a $100 bill today? Would you take it? If I was to hand this to you, would you take it? Anybody? What if I did this to it? What if I crumbled it up? Would you take it? Oh, well, wait. What if I crushed it into the carpet and marred it and destroyed it? Would you take it? Really? It's no longer like it was originally created. It's been marred. It's been broken. It's been contaminated. It's been mashed. You'd take it? See, this is how God deals with you. This is the essence of the gospel. Though you are broken and crushed and torn and abused, God still sees your value. God still sees your worth. How valuable is something? How do you determine how valuable something is? Do you know how you do that? Pastor Frank's got keys to a 2003 Ford Explorer, just out there. And for $145,000, it could be yours today. Anyone? Anyone? What? Something is only as valuable as what someone's willing to pay for it. What was God willing to pay for you? What was Jesus willing to pay for you? His life. What does that tell you about you? The value of who you are. Even if you've been crumpled and smashed and torn and broken and abused. Jesus, do you understand? The gospel proclaims such value to us. Remember I said, loved people know how to love others? The gospel is motivated in love. Religion's motivated in fear. Let me put this back in my pocket. This is so important. Jesus says his disciples had better get this right. A disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, one who is born again, one who learns from Jesus. That means he's the master teacher and you're the student. As you come under his yoke is easy because he paid for the cross. All your sins have been taken away. The Bible says you are now righteous. Oh, man. You've been justified, sanctified, glorified. Well, glorification's coming, but it's already in a... Dude, do you realize who you are? This is the gospel. Every disciple of Jesus has to be able to look and know what the gospel is so you can identify the counterfeit, because there's a bunch of them who claim God and they tell something different. In this series, we're going to look at them. Once we hold up the light, let's look at what is the difference. What's the difference? And this isn't like, Pastor Frank's not going to be mean. This is, there is a difference. So this is the conversation. Well, what is the difference? First, we know what the gospel is, and then we come, next week, Islam. Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, they're all the same. True or not true? No, they're not true. There is a difference. We love Muslims, but we don't love Islam. Well, what is the difference? Well, we'll study that next week. And the next week, Mormonism. I love Mormons. This is not about bashing. It's just a matter of entering into the... there is an intellectual difference between the gospel and blank. Well, what is that difference? This is what this series is all about. And my goal is, I want you guys to walk away today going, man, Jesus is awesome. And then next week, I want your Muslim neighbor, you're going to go, now I get what they are. I get it. Your Mormon neighbor, I get it. Okay. Hindus, Buddhists, I get it. Okay, it helps you. As a disciple, we should be intelligent people that understand. You with me? Sound like a good series? That's where we're heading going. I want to make you the most effective witness that you can be in the days in which we live. So how do you end this sermon? What song would one sing? Have you ever heard of In Christ plus something else? Wait, no, that's not it. It's called In Christ Alone. Good song. As the worship team comes up, let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day that you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in this day, man. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here today. I pray that you would help them to understand the essence of the gospel and really to just swim into the truth of the grace of Jesus, the grace of the Almighty. And Lord, for those of us that are here today that do not, that we're not yet believers in Christ, may this message just help you understand as you're trying to figure this out, trying to figure out who God is, that this is the message of Jesus. When Jesus says to you, whoever you are, come unto me, he's telling you to come unto him, to understand that salvation is not through works, it's not through burdensome labor, it's through accepting what he has done on the cross. It's his work. To the follower of Jesus, we come to a place where our yoke is easy, our burdens are light, because I don't have to do push-ups for God so God likes me. I don't have to do this so God likes me or accepts me. God loves you, and God comes to restore you. God comes to heal you. God comes, you are valuable to him. You've been made in his image. And because he loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to come to earth and walk upon this place so he could take your sins upon himself and he would die on your behalf so you don't have to. Understand the gospel. understand who Jesus is. Look into his eyes, I pray. And learn and believe in Christ alone. Would you stand with us as we sing, as we declare this truth, the gospel in this song, the good news in this song, in Christ alone.